Welcome to Sports 1140 AHDK.
Good morning. I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Rev your engine.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and back.
Attacking one of the mill morning shows.
With Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Kenny Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on the mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
Drive. I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
So much stuff we could start with on a Monday.
Is it all good stuff?
Good! Good! It's if you're Toronto. It's good if you're the Warriors. It's good if you're Miami. It's not good if you're the Thunder.
Or a fan watching these games. For crying out loud, the second round hasn't started any better than the first.
And don't be fooled, by the way. Do not be fooled by the score of the Toronto-Indiana game. Toronto's ran out of gas in the fourth. It got a little excited at one point. And I was like,
You got to love when your best player comes out with a line like, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 46 minutes. But there's also that issue with 7 turnovers. What the hell is it with that? That drives me crazy. Paul George, great player, and I believe he came out before the game and was like, I'm going to play every minute of this game.
Liar.
Well, good. And you had about a turnover per minute. It kills me.
You and your stupid two first names.
Yeah. Together.
Matt George in the other room, his brother.
I was going through the checklist there. There's only one of us, so we're good.
Well, Frank Vogel.
You know what, though?
Yes.
This is a good question. I mean,
I don't know about that.
Biombo. How do we know that that's not like two first names where he's from?
That's a great point. That's a good point. That is an excellent point.
I think it's frankly in 2016 insensitive to even bring it up.
I don't know. Maybe.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Shouldn't even do it. That game got close enough for some people to be able to point to the officials. Late there, it looked like they might have got. I know. Look at. There's one.
There's another one over there.
Especially the shove on Mahinmi near the end.
Yes.
It probably could have been called.
I like this.
Probably was a little too physical, but.
Yeah, I like when in doubt, swallow the whistle. I'm a big fan.
I generally do too, but if I'm sitting there from the Pacers' perspective, I'm going, dude, I got 60 pounds on that guy, and he just fired me across the lane. Yeah. What do you want me to do?
It's not right.
Though, players know that when you're in a situation in the end of a game like that, officials are not going to make the decision to make a call that's going to change the outcome
make
of the
a play.
Game.
Yeah. Eat
you
or get to, eaten.
Exactly. And so you only complain about it when you're on the losing side of things.
And maybe, perhaps, possibly, his final comments as coach of the Indiana Pacers, Frank Vogel, talked about Game 7.
Credit their defense. You know, they played really well. They played so hard, and they're so well prepared. You know, it's not going to be easy, you know, when you're competing on the road. And we had a couple turnovers late that were problematic. But you know, I thought our guys tried to run, tried to make the extra pass, try to play the right way, and put ourselves in position – you know, with the ball down 3 in a Game 7 on the road. I mean, you don't win Game 7s on the road. You know, we were positioned to do that tonight. So I was very proud of our guys.
Anyone have any comments on Frank Vogel as a head coach?
I'm uninterested.
Anything stand out at you? Because this, by the way, we're following a lot of stuff today. At 7 a.m., we'll dig right into more Kings coaches flying in. A lot of people looking at the big red rabbit at the airport, just coming in left and right.
And this is my favorite thing about it. This is what killed me over the weekend. The number of people that, of course, on the Twitter, because I must allow these people to work me up over
Never.
Nothing. Never. But it's like, oh, they're just, it's like their Kings are going at it all you know, willy-nilly because they're interviewing a bunch of people.
Wonky.
Oh, they have no idea what they're doing. They have no, I don't really think that that's the issue here.
You got to get out of that really? Bubble, man. That would drive me nuts if that took my whole weekend up.
I got to get out of that bubble.
Yeah, like that's a conversation.
Well,
let's be
honest.
We have that for 2 seconds. Or
I think it's like PMS. I think that's what it is. It worked me up more than it normally would have.
Well,
and I saw it for all of 5 minutes.
Unless that stands for piss and moan syndrome, because I did the same thing.
Right. I can't
like
speak
ass.
To that.
Well,
but
you, I'm not
no,
saying
thing. Really,
that's why I keep myself out of that specifically. I mean, like, you came in the other day, Dave, and read us something that you read on one of the forums.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that, you know, that was actually kind of interesting, but I'm staying the hell
you're
away
smart.
From that.
You're good. No, you're very smart.
Well, part of it is selfishness, because if I have an opinion, right, I want to feel like that's my own little special flower of an opinion.
Sure.
And so if I hop over to a message board and see someone saying it before I've gotten it to the air, that's ruined my take now.
You're stealing theirs.
Yeah.
That's like save it for the air.
Exactly. It's already been done, so I just, whatever.
Instead, you're just going to stay home, water your flower.
Mm-hmm.
Give it some sunshine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
7:30 in the morning on Sunday, I'm drinking my coffee outside and writing a 12-paragraph.
Bad time for Twitter.
It is. I'm writing a 12-paragraph response on a different message board. Where I'm defending Grant Napier for not being out to get DeMarcus Cousins. I'm like the biggest freaking DeMarcus Cousins homer in the world, taken over only by my homerism for Grant Napier. So I'm sitting there arguing on Grant's behalf, which he doesn't need.
I didn't even know how to get on message boards.
Don't.
I'm not. Trust me.
There's thread after thread after thread about you.
Good!
Is it better than the one website that worked me up last week?
Usually. Most cases.
Ugh, okay.
So.
No, it just kind of depends on which one you want. Like,
right.
Do you want people to say that you were only in the WNBA because you got great legs, or do you want people to say you suck at your current job?
Nate.
Thank you. One way or the other, they'll talk about how you're lame. That's usually what it turns. That's fine. You read everything. That's okay. Read
it all. The secret is that I know how to get on the message boards, and I'm the one writing all the stuff about Dave.
We won't tell him that.
All right, so you're going to hear a lot today about Frank Vogel, because he may or may not be available now.
You think he'll get an interview? Like, is that?
We don't even know if he's, you know, Larry Bird was approached after the game. Hey, you're going to re-sign Frank Vogel? He's like, dude, the game just ended, and he walked away. So, but let's just, for the hell of it.
When you're Larry Bird, you can do that.
Assume Frank Vogel's going to be a free agent. Yeah, I'm sure he interviewed. I mean, hell, they're interviewing the security guy in Jay.
Yeah.
You know?
Frank Vogel, to me, is a guy that I don't think he makes a bad team much better. I think he can get a team to perform to expectations. I think he's maybe an average to slightly above average coach in some aspects. But you look at game management. Last night specifically, they needed a quick two. It took them forever to get a quick two when they probably could have even, I don't know,
and
used
this isn't
a three.
Just a last night thing either.
Right.
It's been a perpetual issue.
Yeah, and you know, when it... A lot of late game situations in the NBA come down to isolations, but they kind of have a bit of the Thunder syndrome going, where it,
fourth
you know,
quarters are
yeah, it
not
gets
the,
yeah,
they
it gets
wish
down
it ended
to crunch
after
time,
three.
And their plan is thank God we've got Paul George. So
do we feel at all that Frank Vogel is a little Rick Carlisle-y when it comes to the way he runs his teams, the way he disciplines, the way he keeps stuff locked
down? Yeah, but Carlisle's
down.
A better game coach.
There's no doubt about that. I'm just saying, is he a cousin of Carlisle in the sense that I get the feeling from Carlisle and watching those Pacers that they are very regimented.
Mm-hmm. Carlisle or Vogel?
Excuse me, Vogel, yeah. I apologize. They're very regimented. They're very much almost very much like the NFL team that's going to call their first 25 plays before mm-hmm. the game even starts. I'm not saying that's
so
a bad thing.
You're saying that Carlisle is regimented.
Carlisle's very regimented.
Okay, but
yeah.
here's the reality. You have to look at it. This is
Was it just in Fantasyland?
Yes.
You say
you were.
The reality.
Yeah, because you might be right in the sense that Carlisle's regimented, but I also think that you have to, when you look at that Dallas team this year and how they should never have had the success that they did, at the All-Star break, they literally got rid of all of their regiment. They went to an exclusive 4-out-1-in offense. And it fluctuated between running Dirk at the 5 and the 4 based on matchups. And that is the least regimented thing possible, but that was the only thing that they could do with the personnel that they had to make it into the playoffs. And guess what? That's all it did. It got them to the playoffs, and then they got spanked.
I think as much as talking about regimented when it comes to X's,
just like Rick Carlisle makes the rules. It's Rick's way or the highway.
Okay. It's his show. We're not I don't want to say he's not a player's coach because the players like him, but I think
just
you have to be
Rondo rules situation, with an iron though. Fist.
Yeah, you have to be a certain type of player to get along with Rick Carlisle. And I feel like Frank Vogel is like son of Rick. You know,
if Rick Carlisle were on the cast of Game of Thrones, which character would he be?
I've seen 20 minutes of Game of Thrones.
You're missing out.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I have too.
Missing out.
And I'm not that guy.
Be Thorax. Is that a character? No, that's like a thing on a beagle.
That's something you clean your sink with.
Oh, okay.
Thorax. I try. I
use it to cut cocaine, the Thorax.
I watched the first 2.5 episodes, I think, of Game of Thrones, and then they like killed off my favorite character. And then
isn't that kind of the thing?
You got your panties in a wad?
Well, then I read ahead on Wikipedia about the books, and it was pretty much, that guy died.
Killing people.
And that girl, and that like 8-year-old cute little girl, she gets her head chopped off. Right, exactly. Just not into that. I'd rather be depressed about my own life. Big show today.
That's why you watch Castle.
Castle's a fun
show. It's so much better.
It is a fun show. All right, so here's the deal. Every hour, right around the 20 there, so we're usually close. We continue your 10K a day giveaway. You can win $1,000 each hour. We'll get to that in a few. Plus, all kinds of stuff. We'll talk about all these Game 7s and Game 1s. Talk about the draft. We'll talk about your Sacramento Kings as well and the coaching search. And George Karl opened up over the weekend Alain Voisin. So Voisin. We'll talk about that when we come up next. So, guys, think about this during the break. Somebody please make a case for anybody but Golden State and San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals. Just make. I need you to make a case. We'll take a break. We're back in 5. It's KSTK. In 5. By the way, nice.
Hit that.
Wow.
Well,
you know what? I'm starting to develop a serious crush on Nate.
Nate Goodyear.
not only does he have this, like, you know, scruffy man beard that I really love, and no offense to you, Dave.
Wow, thanks, because, mine sucks.
Yours goes down to your collarbone.
Mine's just more like pubes on my face. He actually has, like, a real beard.
But now that Nate is giving me a little Adam Levine, that's, like, my man crush right there.
You want me to leave?
Can you go into the other room for a minute?
Step out for a half hour. Leave the mics on. Watch the ratings soar.
I'm going to get killed for this, but Dave, I need you. Yeah. A little intimidating.
The Sacramento Kings are going to make a non-basketball gigantic, big giant, their words, not mine, announcement today, I believe.
Any hints there?
Yeah, I just really saw curious.
Cryptic
I saw tweets
that. I will tell you this. 11 a.m. I will tell you this. Here's the best I can do. It's really the best I can do. I can't tell you when, how, who, where, or why, but I can tell you during the show there will be at least 2 hints.
So this is what kills me, right?
Yeah.
I figure the fact that, you know, I kind of look at my friendship with Dave as like it's a martyrship for me, right? So it absolutely kills me that he has information that
I
don't have.
I have no information.
The only information I have from him is that it's sod day.
Sod day.
Getting sod at his house.
Man,
yes.
I'm jealous of you.
Yes, at 8 a.m. I will have all kinds of people out at my house, front and backyard, laying sod.
Baby.
That's how you know thank you.
Very good.
That's how you know I'm 40 and kids and a wife. My life
Except for how my weekend went, and I was so excited about my weekend, and I am 35 and unmarried, but just as excited over the things that you just mentioned.
The way our society works, though, a little more acceptable for you to be all joyous over dwarf lime trees or whatever you bought. Me, I'm like, hey, it's Bed Bath & Beyond and Kohl's.
Nice
it was
little
great.
Sunday.
You should
little
be Sunday. Going drought resistant, Dave.
We are.
Drought resistant sod.
It's the fake sod.
It's real sod.
No, it's not.
Some special seed that doesn't need a ton of watering.
Well, that's the great thing about it now is because we've never been in a drought in California.
They're just now figuring that out. They are?
They are just now figuring that out.
And I've got three fruit trees, kind of little dwarf trees, a lemon, a lime, and a blood orange to sustain us during the winter months.
Yeah. You know what? I almost bought a blood orange tree yesterday.
Did you?
Simply for the fact so that I can make my favorite martini.
That's exactly why my alcoholic wife bought it. It's exactly why. That's exactly what she said. I said, blood orange. What's with that? She goes, oh, they make the greatest drinks.
They really do.
I was thinking orange.
I wonder if that's what they're announcing today with the Kings.
What, the blood orange trees?
Yeah, that they're going to put a bunch of blood orange trees out in front of the Golden One Center.
Not going to lie, blood orange tree, fantastic alternative rock band name.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm just confused. I mean, trees and announcements and hints.
Yes, 11 a.m. today, and I'd say listen for the hints, but there's no real hints. I mean, there are, but you won't. Come on. I have no idea. I don't know what the announcement could be. It could be... they're putting new shrubs around the arena.
Such a liar.
Good!
You're a liar.
What would you like the announcement to be? Can't be basketball related.
Oh, my God.
Oh, not basketball?
No, can't be basketball. We know it's not basketball.
Does that include
it's the
new
Golden
uniforms?
One Center.
Yeah, it's basketball related. It's got to be.
That's basketball related.
It's got to be non-basketball
event. I know what it is.
Huh?
We have a new building.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's what it is.
Good!
That doesn't sound right.
Give me a logical argument. Or at least an argument with a little bit of logic that doesn't include, okay, here's what it doesn't include. Injuries, off-court.
Tragedies.
Tragedy, yes.
Because that was the only that was the one from the text line.
I'm not reading that text.
We are Marshall.
For karma, I'm not hinting at that text.
I'll do it.
No, shoot. Just come on. No, not you. Today. Don't trust your instincts today.
Okay.
Whatever they're telling you to do, do the opposite. Today only. I don't have one.
How about this?
Okay.
The Thunder have the two best players in the series.
Yeah, but
would you at least buy that?
I can't because I think Kawhi Leonard's on line three.
Okay.
And I just, for me, all around.
It doesn't matter to me. It's because it comes down to this one little fact of basketball that is never going to change, and it really kills the Thunder. And it has
five
all
five guys like, beat two.
No, it comes down to the fact that the game is four quarters, not three.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thunder are notoriously horrendous in the fourth quarter.
If the game was three quarters, the Kings would have been in the playoffs like the last 2 years. No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, five beats two, it's a four-quarter game, a lot of that stuff. That's just the only thing I could think of. You could make the argument the Thunder have the two best players in the series. That's the closest I can get.
At worst, two of the best three in the series. Mm-hmm. I mean, even then, two of the best three in the series.
They're like the only matchup left, San Antonio and OKC, that doesn't have somebody dealing with a major injury, right? The injuries have been a huge story to me in the playoffs this year.
Yeah. They're fairly healthy.
Healthy series.
Basically, Charlotte played the other day with, like, their bus driver. You know, like they had so many people out in that game seven, and I was like, oh, goodbye.
But
now, does anyone think that this whole series is going to go like game one, though? Or I know you brought up the Kings Jazz series last week,
or Dallas and Oklahoma City, or just earlier, and that's why we brought up the Kings Jazz. How many times in the playoffs do you see one team get destroyed in game one and then they eke out a 3-point? I can't see that happening with the Thunder.
What blows my mind about this conversation that we're even having it?
I'm talking about
you
a Kings team from 15 years ago.
You two guys have OKC upsetting.
Yep.
I also had the Pacers upsetting.
I mean, I'm all blown out.
Hey, guess what? I have Boston in the finals.
Yeah, so we're all losers here.
Hey, well, I took a chance.
Before we break.
Sucks to suck.
It does.
We're all stupid because Russell Westbrook has it figured out.
Come on, play harder. You know, they won one game on their home court. And now we got to get ready for game two and try to steal one here. But we got to come out with a little more intensity on both sides of the floor and, with a little more sense of urgency.
All right. We're close to 6:20 here. Your 10K day giveaway. Word of the hour. Popular sports journalist, Carrie. No? Okay. I know that's a little bit deep.
It's not Underwood. She sings, right?
She's on TV. All right.
Champion.
Yes, exactly. Boom. See, okay. I didn't want to go with, like, we are the blank.
No, I gotcha.
I was trying to, I think it's a spark plug. I was trying to find alternate champion.
It's Monday morning. You should have given us a better hint early. Save the tough ones for the third
hour. I got
it.
He got it.
I mean, sorry. Sit the next one out there.
I would never get it, no matter what.
80787, text champion to 80787. Yep, you and you could win $1,000. We'll be doing this all day long. Stay tuned right around the 20s. Text and data rates apply. And, of course, you are entered in if you text to the grand drawing where you could win the prize of $25,000. Here's a question for you to ponder during the break. Rank the remaining series in order of least likely outcome. In other words, most competitive, least competitive. Most competitive, least competitive of the four series we have left. That's your homework during the break. We're right back. Sports 1140 KHDK. Girl.
This sounds like, okay, if Chicago from the 80s.
Okay, Peter Cetera.
Did a song with Wayman Tisdale.
70. Hey, the late, great Wayman Tisdale, yes.
Didn't this have a little bit of both of those there?
It does. That's, you know, that's a, that, there you go. There you go.
From Wayman.
Yeah. Yes, sir, it is The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Matt George behind the glass, our producer Jay.
Looking for hard bodies to music like that.
Jay's on vacation this week. Love Matt George. He's sitting in. So lovely sound. He'll screw it up before the end of the show. Trust me on this. But right now, he's doing quite well. There are a handful of playoff series left, four to be exact, if you're counting, in the National Basketball Association. And we're asking you, by the way, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. You can text us at the 44-1140. So here we go. Some of these are already gone. The Cavaliers are the one seed. They will open up tonight at home versus the Atlanta Hawks. The Raptors and Heat both got out of game sevens, so tomorrow they will face off against each other. That's a 2-3. The Warriors already up 1-0, as they say in England. The Warriors over the facing the Trailblazers. That's a 1-5. And then the 2-3, Spurs and Thunder. Spurs up 1-0. By the way, with the exception of the Trailblazers beating the Clippers, look at that. Everything is chalk. 1 versus 4, 2 versus 3, 1 versus 5.
Yes, so.
2 versus 3. Just goes to show you, when in doubt, just take the easy guess. Take the easy guess.
I got the East all wrong.
Right. You can tell us how bold you were when you make a pick like the Pistons over the Cavs.
Give me the most competitive series in your mind remaining. The series that has the best chance to go 7, let's say.
This one's not even close to me. Katie, you want to go ahead? You have it? I got Miami and Toronto.
I agree.
Yeah, that's to me is the one that I'm looking at right now. Mm-hmm. I actually think that'll be the best one. But I don't know, though. I think Atlanta is actually playing really well right now. And I think that they're such a team in the whole sense of how they utilize everybody. Yeah. And with the Cavs, to me, you never know with LeBron and Kyrie.
Right.
You need both of them to be playing very well. And J.R. Smith to go off every once in a while. And I don't know that, you know, that's going to happen every single game. So it might be an interesting series.
What would be the second most competitive series?
That's the one I think would be Cleveland and Atlanta.
Cleveland, Atlanta?
Yeah, for just about everything that Katie said, I think that's all spot on. The only reason I look at Miami and Toronto is I just see those teams more equal on paper in terms of, you know, star power matchups. Atlanta doesn't have that guy that's going to necessarily trade buckets with LeBron down the stretch, but I could see how that would be a good series.
Okay, so I think we're all in agreement there, no doubt about it. The two most likely competitive remaining series are going on in the East. Yeah. Now, this might be the more difficult question. Which of these series is going to be more competitive or has a better chance? Warriors, Blazers, or Spurs, Thunder?
I actually think the Blazers and the Warriors.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to health, really. I mean, I know that Steph Curry thinks that he'll be back by maybe game 3.
He does.
But I'll believe it when I see him on the floor.
Here's my question. If you're Steve Kerr, do you bring back Steph Curry before they lose in this series?
Oh, yes. But you don't bring him back any earlier than is necessary. I want him back before the next series.
Okay.
Just because I want him on the floor.
Yeah.
Here's why I asked that, because he's saying he might be ready for game three. Mm-hmm. And that's like a major question. Remember, it was going to be 2 weeks, which game three.
2 weeks.
Before
reevaluated. Yeah.
So my question is this: when I say before they lose, meaning if they sweep the Blazers, that's game four. So would you bring him, if they're up 2-0, are you going to push him for game three? Okay, now they're up 3-0. Are you going to push him to come back game four now? Are you going to err on the side of caution? You
Correct
have a 3-0 lead?
If I'm wrong, but isn't the Blazers one of the teams that actually beat Golden State during the regular season?
Yes.
Now, was that a game
Didn't they beat him in Oakland?
Yes, in Oakland. Wasn't that a game that Steph Curry was playing, right?
Because
I know one of those
Lillard
games.
Just went ridiculous that game.
Yeah, and he has the ability to do that.
And you feel like there's going to be a Lillard game. Mm-hmm. I think this series goes five. And five because I think there's going to be some crazy Lillard game that happens. But that's where it gets interesting to me with Curry is, again, they go into Portland. They win game two. The Warriors do at home. Let's just assume that. They go into Portland. They go, okay, we're up 2-0. Steph, I'm not going to rush you.
If you're up 2-0 and he wants to be back game three, bring him back game four.
Wait, what'd you say?
Bring him back game four.
Okay.
Yeah. I see where you're going there. If you're up 2-0, I want him on the floor before I go to the next series. But if he says, hey, game three, and you're still a little wonky and you're up 2-0, wait and see what happens in game three.
I agree.
The only reason I bring it up, and I totally, I'm split. I totally get where you're coming from. You don't want him coming in cold to what we're going
to
assume is the Spurs in the conference finals. But we all, with the Spurs Thunder, figure maybe the Thunder can take one, maybe two games. I don't know.
It could potentially go seven games.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're Steve Kerr, you have an opportunity to not only sit Steph for the entirety of the Portland series, but also the break that's going to come. Even if both teams sweep, they're still going to delay them a little bit to catch up, to let the Eastern Conference catch up. So you just bought yourself an extra 2, 3, 4 days of rest when you still have not one, you have two series remaining because you got the Cavs assumedly around the corner.
Well, this is why it's so important for the Warriors to take care of business and give them some space for rest and recovery in the playoffs, because we haven't talked about this at all, and I don't think a lot of people realize this, but the Warriors traveled more miles during the NBA season than any other team. And the team that traveled the least amount of miles this year was, coincidentally, the Cavs.
Yeah.
And so I actually am a firm believer in that does take a toll on you throughout the year. The travel alone can play an important role. So it is, in my mind, really important for them to be able to take the series. But when you look at this series,
stop for a second. I'm sorry, because I don't want to get away from what you just said. By the way, Portland beat Golden State in Portland. Golden State's two losses at home, Lakers, Minnesota.
Okay.
Thank you for that, Dexter. I just don't want you to get past this. As a layman, somebody who's never played the professional sports, been on the grind or traveled with a professional team, in my mind, I go, okay, hold on a second. Yeah, Golden State's traveling more. They're West Coast. Cleveland's in the middle of the country. They're on private planes with lay flat seats. They're staying in 5-star St. Regis hotels. They have catered food. So help me out. Why is it professional athlete travel? Not like when Nate and I go on Southwest. Why is that a big deal?
Because it's not just about like, oh, we're going, you know, Golden State to Portland or what have you. You have to also factor in that with the NBA going global, you're playing a lot of global games. Like we went down to Mexico City. I think these things really factor in the long run.
Yeah, like jet lag and stuff like that, or the effect on the body.
Well, the only major counter to that is the fact that the Warriors won 73 games this year.
Exactly.
With all that travel.
That tells you how good they are.
That's it. Like, I'm with you on that. I don't know how much that affects the Warriors, this team.
I'm saying that it absolutely, especially with given injuries and stuff with
the
them right now.
The extra couple days will always help is the point, right?
I need the rest for my voice,
Yeah, apparently. All right, we're going to pause, take a break. Here's the deal. When we get back, there's something going on in sports right now that is the equivalent of Kim Kardashian being elected president in 2020. Seriously.
Oh.
I will tell you exactly what it is and why this is such an awesome story when we get back. It is your home of the Kings at Sports 1140 KHDK. Attaboy, Matt.
My
Lewis.
Boy, Matt.
The Cleveland Browns, prior to last year, last season, beginning of the season, were 200-1 underdogs to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
This is all perspective here. Chargers, 100-1.
Look at, what are we doing? Like, we got a dancer.
Yes.
Yeah, she's healing. Katie's feeling good today.
Yeah.
80-1 odds for the Niners. Let's see, where were the Raiders? Oh, this is for next year. I'm sorry, because I'm looking at the Raiders. The Raiders are 35-1. Going, nah,
whoa,
was, yeah,
hey
no,
now.
No, no, no. But hey, hold on a second. The Raiders are 35-1. All right.
Good.
That's very good. So the Browns 200-1. All right, that is the biggest long shot in the NFL.
And just as you think of that number, 200-1.
Yes.
Just consider exactly how little of a chance in your mind, and I'm talking to listeners out there,
yes,
the Browns have of winning the Super Bowl next year.
It's all Johnny's
year.
Fault.
Just put down a dollar.
Like 200-1, it's never going to happen. There is zero chance.
Put a dollar down, you win $200.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy math. In the NBA, before this year, the Hornets. How about this? Hornets, Wolves, Magic, Sixers, all 200-1. Kind of interesting, the Hornets were. Kings, 100-1, along with the Nets at 100-1. So there's your basketball perspective. In baseball, the Atlanta Braves, 100-1. Phillies, 300-1, the biggest long shot. Okay, I'm setting this up because if the right thing happens today, and Chelsea wins, I think they play Tottenham in the English Premier League, a team called Leicester City will win the English Premier League. Now, why am I talking about English Premier League soccer at 6:51? Well, you know,
this is prime time for right.
Why
soccer
not?
People.
Exactly. Leicester City is going to win the Premier League championship more than likely. With that result today, they had a chance versus Manchester United on Sunday. They drew. When they and if they win, somebody who put $10 on Leicester City to win the premiership before the season started, they will walk away with $50,000. Leicester City was a 5,000-1 underdog to win the Premier League title.
Were they even in the Premier League last year? Didn't they get promoted last year?
Did they? Or were they?
That I'm not totally
that
sure
I'm
about.
I'm not either. I should know that.
So this is.
Yeah, Matt is in there shaking
his head.
He gives
us the heads up. I thought so.
Okay.
Yeah, one of their main players, Jamie Vardy, named Footballer of the Year. How about that? This is a guy that was like basically bouncing around minor leagues,
right,
essentially. He quit the game and went to work at like a factory or some crap like that. Basically got
and
a tryout.
Some work ethic, dang it.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
That's what it
and,
was.
And I mean, he'd had some problems too. I want to say there was like some off the field stuff he dealt with, whatever. He's like 26, 27,
right.
Came back and he's the player of the
Did
year
it
this
require
year.
Require penicillin? That kind
I
of
don't know.
Off-field
That's a good
work
question.
Ethic.
Leicester City finished last year 14th of 20 teams in the Premier League.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They were 11-8-19. In other words, 11 wins, 8 draws, 19 losses. Here's who wins in the English Premier League. Chelsea, Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool. That's it. That's who wins. Now, someone's going to call in, well, you know, Everton won. No, no, no. There is no parity in the EPL.
There's the haves and the have-nots.
Yes, there is.
Liverpool and Tottenham are kind of interchangeable anymore, right? I mean,
but Liverpool historically much more successful. There's basically five teams. There's five teams. They're 5,000-1 dogs, Leicester City is. That means you got a dad and his son that every year, just for the hell of it, put $5 on a Leicester City. Well, okay, great. That $5 is now $25,000. They have these different brokerages, these betting firms, that have been going around and laying out like 80% payoffs for these guys before they actually clinch, just to hedge the bet, just in case. Hey, we'll pay you 80%. We'll pay it right now before Leicester City even wins. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea, these are some things. I think it's William Hill, betting agency, said would be 5,000 to 1 odds. Elvis being confirmed alive. I'm being dead serious. 5,000 to 1 odds. Confirmation of a Yeti or the Loch Ness Monster. 5,000 to 1 odds.
Bigfoot? Is Bigfoot in there?
I would assume so. Okay. Although perhaps Bigfoot's like 4,500 to 1. Last year, thank you, Matt George, Leicester City was in the English Premier League for the first time in 10 years.
Okay.
We don't need to get into relegation and all that for people who don't care about soccer. This isn't a soccer story. But you imagine you have to earn your way into the top flight league. Imagine, in other words, if the Kings were in the English Premier League, they wouldn't be in the English Premier League right now.
You
They'd be
what?
In the lower
Philly
league.
The NBA should do that. Like, Philly should have to win the right to be back in the NBA again.
Yes.
They should have to win
I
the
agree.
The
you
D-League.
Want to get rid of tanking.
Love the idea of relegation in American sports.
Like, just to get an idea here, this is like if there was some sort of tragedy and the Giants team bus crashed on the way to the airport and wiped out the entire Major League roster. They've got to go with the River. They've replaced them with the River
yes.
Cats. You've got to use
yep.
that roster.
That's about what the odds would be.
They win the World Series.
Yeah.
5,000 to 1. The other thing, to bring it all together, 5,000 to 1 odds are exactly what the odds are, according to William Hill, for Kim Kardashian to be elected United States president in 2020.
Yeah, but what would he have said about Donald Trump
That's
like
a great
two
point.
Years ago?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to think about it, too. I mean, if all Kim Kardashian's Twitter followers registered to vote,
right?
That are registered
to vote.
He'd
be president tomorrow.
Absolutely. Man.
John Cena ran.
And
he'd
that,
be president
that
tomorrow.
That is what is scary about democracy sometimes mm-hmm. when
so,
you really think about it.
Political commentary aside,
yes.
the odds are pretty stretched here.
It's pretty amazing when you think about the fact. And I love the story. I love the idea of these people putting money on their team just because they're diehard fans year after year after year. And this year, it's not just that they're going to win some cool prize. You put $10
they're gonna
down.
They're going to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
You win... You put $10 down, you're walking away with 50 grand. Well, less the juice, but you know.
Do you? I'm curious. Do you put money down on the Kings?
I do.
At the start of every season.
I do.
I've never made
every year
a
for the last 10 years. I make a bet.
Book.
I've
yep.
done that with the Niners. I haven't
really?
The last couple of years, but yeah, it's 75 to 100 to 1 odds, something
yeah.
like that. Give them $10. Give them $100.
Every year I put $100 down on the Kings.
Yeah.
Last 10 years, hasn't worked out so far.
No. But someday.
Do you get to write that off? Is there like a thing on your
charitable
taxes
donation.
Where you can be like charitable or hashtag dumb?
Yeah.
It's my hashtag dumb
they
decisions.
They start putting that on tax forms. Yeah. Hashtag dumb listing
yeah.
here.
George Carl opened up to Aileen Voisin over the weekend. Aileen did her interview over the weekend with George Carl. We had competing interviews. I had DeMarcus. She got George Carl. I'll be honest with you, as opposed to lying all the time. I got to get rid of that crutch. I actually enjoyed the end. I thought there were some very interesting things that George Carl brought up and some very good points.
Yeah.
We'll lay that out, and we'll talk about some of the things he said next. It is your home of the Kings, Sports 1140 KHDK.